So it's good to see everybody, and hope everybody had a wonderful, somewhat inspiring, not too caloric Passover. But it is a beautiful thing if you have the opportunity to be together with your family. I know that we were very fortunate to not only have all of our kids and grandkids at some point over the holiday, but we were blessed with yet another grandson at the second night, the second Seder. Not at the Seder, thank God, because that really would have put a crimp in my style. But that night we had another grandson. So Baruch Hashem, we're happy to celebrate that. Thank you. Really, really wonderful. And it's so funny how the difference between men and women. Anybody that we told that was a male, the first thing they figured, so when was the baby born? So we said Thursday night, night of the second Seder. They do a quick calculation and they say, oh, wonderful. That means the bris on next Friday will be chametz. Great. That's what every guy said. Every woman who we were told, when was the baby born? She goes, oh, a Pesach bar mitzvah. Oh, yeah. The difference between men and women, we go from one end, one extreme to the other. That's the way it goes. But thank God, either way, this is what we have to celebrate. So Baruch Hashem. But tonight I want to talk to you about a change, a somewhat of a paradigm shift, a little bit of a change of perspective. Everybody here knows that we are now currently between the holidays of Passover and Shavuot. We are between these two holidays. And I know we've spoken in the past how the two very much are related. How Passover is really the physical liberation of the Jewish people, the exodus from Egypt. However, we don't really reach the goal of freedom, the goal of liberation, until we get the Torah at Mount Sinai, which is commemorated with the holiday of Shavuot. So they really represent a long chain of a holiday. If you really want to be precise, Nachmanides actually looks at it and says that the first days of Passover or the holiday of Passover are like the first days of the holiday. Shavuot are like the last days of the same holiday. And all of the days in the middle, what we call counting of the Omer, which we're going to talk about tonight, that's like the Chol HaMoed. That's like the intermediate days of the same holiday. It's one massively long holiday because clearly the whole point of the Exodus was not limited to physical liberation. That's not why we celebrate. It's because ultimately it led to 7 weeks later, standing at Mount Sinai and God speaking to us the Ten Commandments, the Torah. But when you look at this concept of counting the Omer, and for those who may not know, what we've been doing since the second day of Pesach, the second night of Pesach, we start counting the number of days from Pesach to Shavuot. There's 49 days. The 50th day is the holiday of Shavuot. So we count them. And literally, that's exactly what we do. Every single night, I just did it with my family. We make a bracha. Asher Kiddush Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu Al Sfirat HaOmer. On the counting of the Omer. What is the Omer? We'll talk about that in a moment. But what we do is every single night, every single day, we count one, two, three, four. So I counted already tonight, so I'm not going to get myself in trouble. Tonight was the 18th day of the Omer. Tonight was Sunday night slash Monday is the 18th day of the Omer. Hayom Shmona Asar Yom. Today is the 18th day. Shehem Shnei Shavuot, which are 2 weeks, the Arba Yomim, and 4 days, La'omer, to counting of the Omer. And we verbally count each day up until we get to number 49. We count 49, and then the very next day is the holiday of Shavuot. There are other mitzvos in the Torah of where we have to keep track of time. We have to count to know the number of days. For example, a woman after she has her cycle, she has to count a certain number of clean days before she's able to go to the mikvah, to go to the ritual immersion. right? Which we'll talk a little bit more about as well. But she has to count 7 days. There's no mitzvah, to the best of my knowledge, of where every night when she makes sure that she's clean, that no blood has come, she doesn't make a bracha and say, today is day one, today is day two, today is three, four, five, six, seven, and then there's no mitzvah. Yet when it comes to the Omer, we verbally count each day. Question is why? What makes matters even more challenging is where does this mitzvah come from? So we're going to see it in the Torah reading in not this week, but next week in Parshat Emor. I want to read you the words of the Torah very carefully, but listen, because I know we've heard the words before, and if we just look at it superficially, it makes sense. But let's be scholarly. Let's really analyze the wording. Here's what the Torah says. Usvartem lochem mimacharat ha-shabbat. You shall count for yourselves from the day after the Shabbat, miyom haviachem et omer hatnufa, from the day when you bring the omer of the waving. Omer, by the way, is a measurement. It's a certain amount, a quantity. An omer of the waving. Sheva Shabbatot Timimot Tiyana. 7 weeks they shall be complete. We are obligated to count for ourselves 7 weeks. If you want to know where this is in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15. Okay? Anything strike you about this that you weren't anticipating or you thought it would be different in the wording? Anything strike you? I'll give you a hint. I'll read it again carefully, and I'll put the emphasis on certain syllables to make it simple for you. Okay? Nobody smiled at that. Okay. You shall count for yourselves. What happens to this? You shall count. Everybody knows it's for yourself. I mean, you shall count. From when? Mimacharat ha-shabbat. From the day after Shabbos. Let's see. Irv, the holiday of Pesach started what day of the week this year? The Seder was when?
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night / Thursday. That is correct. Okay? So when did you start counting Svira? I can't. Irv, you must be on mute because I can't hear you. I don't hear you.
I guess.
Try again.
Thursday
Sunday.
Night.
So
Sunday.
Well, whoever said Sunday, hold on. The truth of the matter is, if you did it that way, you are way off the count, buddy, because the rest of the Jewish world started counting Thursday night. The second night of Pesach, what we call the second Seder, we counted that night the first day of the Omer. We did not wait until Sunday. If you subscribe to the notion that it always begins on a Sunday, because that's the literal translation of the verse, you shall count for yourselves mimacharat ha-shabbat, the day after Shabbos. Well, then you fall into a group of people known as the Sadducees, or there was a group that did not accept any oral Torah understanding. They took the Torah literally. For example, they believe when the Torah says you shall not kindle a fire on the Shabbat, right? We understand it to mean you cannot initiate a new fire on Shabbat. But if you have one already started before Shabbat, meaning Friday, you can keep things warm. You can keep that going. You can add more to it, but you can go ahead and leave it as is. For example, right here, me. I make a cholent for my Shabbat lunch. Well, when do I put that up? I put that up Friday afternoon, and I leave it on in the crock pot, cooking, stewing all throughout Friday night up until I take it off the flame on Shabbos. Those tzedukim, those Sadducees, they did not allow it because they took the words of the Torah literally. You shall not kindle a fire. That means no fire. They sat in the dark all Shabbos. For example, the Torah says that you're supposed to see the tzitzit that we wear, right? I happen to wear my tzitzit out usually, you know, these strings. So we understand it to mean that they should be visible. They understood it that you have to actually see it, and they wouldn't wear it. They would hang it on their walls so that when they walked into the house, they would see it. They totally distorted the understanding that goes with the oral Torah's teaching of the written Torah. They, Fred, would always start the count of the Omer on a Sunday because they took this verse literally the day after Shabbat. The oral Torah teaches us that the word Shabbat in this verse only means a day of rest. It's the day after the day of rest, which was the first day of Pesach, where we are forbidden to do work. Meaning we start the second day of Pesach. But that's based on our oral tradition teaching us about the written Torah. But they would always start the day after Shabbat, even if Pesach fell on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Shabbos. They would always start counting the Omer on a Sunday. And therefore, for them, Shavuot always came out on the same day of the week every year, because the Omer is the 50th day. Shavuot is the 50th day after the counting of the Omer. That's not our tradition. That's not what we do. We literally count the day after the first day of Pesach. So, Irv, you're going to ask me the obvious question. Then why didn't the Torah say it that way? Why phrase it in such a way that it's misleading, that it makes it sound like it always begins the counting the day after Shabbos? Good question. I'm glad you asked. But I have two other questions. Next, what is this Omer? We call it the counting of the Omer. So anybody know what's this Omer thing? Don't be shy.
I just heard like this isn't the gist of it, but I heard something interesting that like the 49 days correspond to like the 49 levels of depression we were at, like how low we got in Egypt before we got let out. Like we're at the last level to be let out.
There's truth to that, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But what is this word Omer? Omer just means a quantity. I don't know, like a quart, half a gallon. It's a little less than that. But an Omer is a measurement. It's a measurement of what? What are we counting?
It's like the wheat or something of the first.
Let's go with the or something, because wheat is not correct.
Barley.
It's barley. Irv Boyman said correctly. It's an amount of barley that was brought on the second day of Pesach. That's exactly what it was. An Omer's worth of barley was brought as an offering in the tabernacle, and then ultimately in the temple when it was built in Jerusalem. They would bring on that second day of Pesach, the first day of counting, an Omer's worth of barley. Hold that thought. Go forward to the end of the Omer period of counting the Omer. And we come to the holiday of Shavuot. We also brought a special offering. It was two loaves of wheat challah, specifically made of wheat. When we start the count, we start with an Omer's worth of barley. And when we finish the count, we finish with two loaves of wheat. What is the significance of going from barley to wheat? And make matters worse, why would we even call it, right? Why don't you name it with the goal? Why would we call it Svirat HaOmer, the counting of the Omer? It should be the counting of the loaves of wheat. That's the goal, is to get to Shavuot, not the point of departure. When you say you're going to go on vacation, Jeff, you're going to go out somewhere. Do you say, oh, it's Columbus? No, it's not. It's where you're going is where your destination is. That's what you name the trip. Because otherwise your trip is always going to be called Columbus, because that's where you leave from. Why would we call this from the point of departure, the Omer of a barley amount, an Omer's worth of barley, make a reference to the wheat? And then my last question, before you answer that, Herb, my last question is, why do we count upwards? One, two, three. When you have a destination in mind, you have a goal, you know that come June, whatever, on vacation, you don't count up, you count down. Only 50 days left till I leave. 49, 48, 47. And we work our way down till you get to your goal. When my daughter got married a couple of weeks ago, one of her friends made her a countdown to her wedding. 21 days, 20 days, 19 days. And she had a beautiful picture. And but you don't count up to the wedding, you count down. If the goal of all of this is to go from Pesach to Shavuot, that's where we want to be, then we should be counting down 50, 49, 48, 47. But that's not what we do. We count 1, 2, 3, 4 upwards. These are my basic questions. What would you like to suggest, Mr. B?
I would say, well, it is, as I understand it, the barley is more of a lower kind of grain as opposed to the wheat.
Correct.
So we go from the barley and we're building up to the wheat, from the low to the high. And so would be the same as the counting up, is that we're building upon something instead of taking away from something.
I love the idea, and I can't disagree because it's true. But I think my question goes a little deeper, because even though it's true that we are building up to something, and your goal is ultimately to get to Shavuot, then why name it after the barley aspect? Name it for the goal. You don't say I'm counting towards, you know, from my engagement to my wedding. You don't focus on the engagement. You're focused on what the end result will be, is hopefully is the wedding. So it should be, we're counting the chalot. We're counting the wheat, not the barley. You're focusing on the lowly aspect. Shouldn't we focus on the higher aspect of what it is we're striving for? So listen to an amazing answer that I think if we develop this properly, gentlemen, and now Arlene, lady, we're going to have something to walk away with a totally different understanding about this whole period of counting the Omer. I'll tell you the following. Let's talk about this word Pesach for a moment. We know it means Passover. Okay. Let's go. Who wants to tell me, why is it called Passover? What is it in reference to?
Manna.
No. What is Passover? Why do we call the holiday Passover? Come on, Eddie.
Because we put the blood on the door and the angel of death passed over us.
Eddie, you agree with that?
I didn't hear what he said.
Say it again, Fred.
We put the blood on the door and the angel of death passed over us when they killed the firstborn of the 10th plague.
Yeah, okay.
You buy that?
Yeah.
yeah.
Don't fall for it, Eddie. The Exodus of Egypt, but he does have a point with when we did put the blood over the door and Hashem passed over us and they killed all the firstborn.
Okay, so you made one slight change that I liked over Fred's version, and that is you said God passed over, not the angel of death. I like that version better, but okay. But yeah, that is the basic of the holiday. That's why we call it Passover, because God passed over the houses of the Jews. It's that simple.
Good one, Fred. Good one.
Yeah. However, someone made the point, Jeff made the point earlier, that let's talk about when that took place. I don't mean the time frame. I mean, what kind of state of being were the Jewish people at that point? So Jeff correctly pointed out, while it's true that at the last minute, right before God took us out, he gave us two mitzvos to do. The mitzvah of eating the Paschal lamb, the Passover offering, and the mitzvah that the only way you were allowed to partake of it was if you had circumcision. Those two mitzvahs was at least the entry point. God says, okay, I see you're trying, but you really, as Jeff said, we were on the almost the absolute lowest spiritual level. As a people, we had become so ingrained in Egyptian culture and Egyptian society that we were at risk of never leaving. Even if physically we would be taken out, our mindset and the culture that we had acclimated to would have become part and parcel of who we were, and we weren't going to be able to leave that mentality. So in a sense,
some people didn't leave, right, Rabbi?
That is correct. That is correct. When it says that there were a whole group that died out during the ninth plague, it's either they died because they had spiritually cut themselves off from the Jewish people and they had already reached the point of no return, or literally they didn't want to leave. But the point being is that you have a situation of where the Jewish people are sunken into the 49th out of 50 levels of impurity. We had sunk into such a low level. We had to leave quickly. God did not want to wait any longer. Now, let's be honest here. This was a huge favor. For those who know, when God told Abraham years and years earlier that the Jewish people, his descendants, were going to become enslaved, it was for how many years? How many years did he say that it was going to happen for?
400.
That's correct, for 400. But in reality, it was only
210.
210. Whoa. So God lied? There's many answers to this question, but they all come down to this one point. There was no other option. The Jewish people were on the precipice of extinction. God had to intervene and save us. We were on the 49th level, tipping over to the 50th, to the point of no return. Being that the Jewish people were on that 49th level of impurity, we had to leave quickly. So how did God do it? This is important. God himself went down into Egypt. God himself went down, and it wasn't just to kill the firstborns, but it was a matter of raising the Jewish people. They needed a spiritual boost to get out. Undeserved, mind you. Undeserved. We were on the 49th. Yes, he gave us a little quickie, something to show that we were interested. We were still get our ticket punched. But did we deserve? Were we merited? No, we did not. And many commentators will add to this. And now, Fred, you can put this in your file. The reason why it's called Pesach is not just because God passed over the houses, but rather God went and he passed from one Jewish house to the other to infuse them with a spiritual boost. Not just skipping it so that no plague would hit. And he went only to the Egyptian homes. Rav Kook and others understand that Pesach means that skipping from one Jew's house to the next in order to give them that spiritual oomph that they needed to get out. Pesach literally means to pass over, to jump. I'm just studying the story. If you've ever had the opportunity to study in the book of Kings as part of Tanakh, I'm reading now, I'm learning again. I haven't done this in many years, but I'm rereading the story of Elijah the prophet on top of Mount Carmel. If you ever go to Israel, and I would love to go on a trip with all of you, and we would study all the different places. But if we ever go to Mount Carmel and we would learn the story of Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet there, he uses a terminology. He basically challenges the king of Israel to a duel, not with swords, but with an offering. There was a showdown. All of the false prophets claiming their idol will help them, and Elijah the prophet saying it is only one God as Hashem that will answer our prayers. And they have a duel. They have a showdown. The long and short of it, he turns to the Jewish people and the words Elijah used, he turns to them and he says, Ad masai atem poschim al shnei ha-se'ifim. How long are you going to be Pesach jumping on the two sides of the doorpost? One day you decide you're going to serve the idol. Next day you're on God's side. Next day you're back to the idol. You have to pick a side. The word poseach means to jump over. So what happens? Not only does it mean that God jumped over the houses of the Jews to spare them during the 10th plague, but it means he jumped from Jewish house to Jewish house to give them a spiritual burst. The whole point of that night was to take the Jewish people out of the spiritual depths and raise them up quickly. Hence, Pesach is like a big boost to your battery. Sometimes your car doesn't start. It's not because the battery is dead necessarily, but it doesn't have enough oomph. It doesn't have enough juice to get going. All it needs is a boost. Once it gets the boost and it drives for a while, you're able to regenerate and to keep it going, right? Well, that's what happened. On the night of Pesach, we got a boost. God put his two clips, the positive and the negative, and he put those jumper cables to himself, and he gave us a spiritual charge, a boost. But as we all know, the same way with a battery, you can't stay forever in that state. You have to disconnect from that booster, from that, right? You have to remove the jumper cables. And what do you have to do? You have to do it on your own. You have to, the car has to be able to generate. That's what your alternator does. It now will recharge the battery if you drive the car. Correct? Am I correct in that analogy, folks?
Yes.
That's what has to happen here. So the Zohar says that what happened is the Exodus came along and God gave us Pesach. He skipped, he jumped us, and he gave us a spiritual boost. The very next day, God now tells us, now you're going to have to start doing this on your own. You need to earn it by yourself after the initial push. Think about a baby. Think about a baby in the womb. While it's still in utero, right? It's still connected. It has all of the things taken care of for it. But the minute it's born, it has to do it on its own. The minute you cut that umbilical cord, the child, the baby, the infant now has to breathe on its own. It has to be fed. It has to do all of this now on its own. The Jewish people, the night of Pesach, were like the embryo inside the womb and gets the charge. But that night when we left, the very next day, we now have to do this on our own. Our job after Pesach is to reach the level with our own efforts. This difference between getting the boost from Hashem directly versus my doing it on my own, if you really think about it, is the major difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Is the difference between Shabbos and all the festivals. Let's explain. When we daven on Shabbos, right? The middle blessing of all of the prayers that we do on Shabbat, whether it's Friday night, Shabbat morning, Shabbat mincha, they all end with Baruch Atah Hashem Mikadesh HaShabbat. Mikadesh HaShabbos, that's how it ends. Blessed are you Hashem who sanctifies the Shabbos. It shouldn't be that far from your memory that on Pesach or any other holidays, the festivals, we end it a little differently. Baruch atah Hashem, Mikadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. Does that sound familiar? Mikadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. The blessed are you Hashem who sanctifies the Jewish people. Right? Mikadesh Yisrael, the Hazmanim, and the times, the festivals. Please note, what's the major word difference between Baruch Atah Hashem Mikadesh HaShabbat versus Baruch Atah Hashem Mikadesh Yisrael, the Hazmanim? What is the key word that is different? Have I totally lost you all? They both say Mikadesh, but on Shabbos, the word Yisrael is not there. It just says, blessed are you Hashem who sanctifies the Shabbos. As opposed to on Yom Tov, on the festivals, it says, who sanctified the Jewish people and their times. What's the difference? It's a world of difference, gentlemen. Rick, if you're stuck and you're out in the desert and you lose track of time, what do you do about Shabbos?
Well, you make sure that you go long enough so that you don't break the Shabbos.
How do you do that? You lost track of what day it is.
You look at the sunset and sunrise.
But I don't know if that's the sunrise of Sunday or sunrise of Wednesday. It does. There's no little, you know, the airplane doesn't go across with the big banner that says, today is Wednesday. So what does it do?
Well, then you get out your Apple Watch. See what it says. That's what I would do.
That's what you would do. You count on your Apple Watch. I don't know how you charge it after the first week. Okay. What should he do? Come on, folks.
I don't know. Ask Jeff. He knows the answer.
What you do is you take a day and you say, okay, today is going to be Shabbos. And you go 7 days and you do it again. You pick a day. Shabbos is what it is. It's just established. I don't do anything. It is what it is. Did you do anything? Can I go ahead? Let's say, for example, let's compare that to the festivals. We just celebrated Pesach. What day of the month is Pesach? The first Seder is what day of the month?
15th.
Correct. The 15th of Nisan, the 15th day of the month. Well, how did we determine when was the 15th? Let's go back 2 weeks. 2 weeks before that, we had Rosh Chodesh, the first of the month. Who makes that determination as to when it is the new moon? It's not a set calendar in the old days. Now it is. Now we just have to look at the calendar or go online. Or if you really have an Apple smartwatch, you can check that out. It's got it all. But in the old days, we actually had to wait for testimony, two witnesses to come to Jerusalem and say they saw the first sliver of the moon, and they interrogate them, the high court, the Supreme Court does. And when they declare, they actually say the words, Mekudash, Mekudash, the month has now been sanctified, that becomes the first of the month. Who makes that determination? We do. Think about the power of this, gentlemen. I don't know if you're understanding the depth of what I'm telling you. If let's say in heaven, the first of the month should be on a Tuesday. Let's just say, based on the calculations, this is really the first, that first, but it was cloudy and nobody saw it for a few hours. And it gets quote unquote pushed off so that they don't come to Jerusalem. They go through the interrogation process and it's only on Wednesday that they declare it the first of the month. Which is the first day of the month? Tuesday, the way it was really meant to be, or Wednesday when they declare it?
Wednesday.
It is Wednesday, even though, you know, from a purely real perspective in heaven, it should have been Tuesday. But we, the Jewish people, when the court makes the determination, that becomes reality. Think about the power that is. That means, let's just put this in perspective. We celebrated Passover, the first Seder, Wednesday night. What if I told you a little secret? That really, we got it wrong. Because Rosh Chodesh was really supposed to be, 2 weeks earlier, was supposed to be on a Monday. Which means Tuesday night should have been Passover. That means, Irv, you were eating chametz Tuesday night, weren't you? You had your last bit of chametz Tuesday night. OMG. You were eating chametz on what should have been the real Pesach. OMG. That's terrible. But it's a good thing there's only a handful of us on the call. We're not going to tell anybody. Seriously. How can it be? You ate chametz. And what's worse, you didn't eat matzah. Oh my gosh. The answer is you did nothing wrong. You did 100% right. There's no problem eating your chametz Tuesday night. Why? Because the court determined Rosh Chodesh wasn't until Tuesday, not Monday. And therefore, the Seder doesn't start till Wednesday night. That's the power of the holiday. We have the input in its determination as to when the holiday actually is. So now let's go back to the blessings. On Shabbos, in the blessings, we say, Baruch Ato Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbat. Blessed are you, Hashem, who sanctifies Shabbos. We, the Jewish people, have zero input. Shabbos is what Shabbos is. I can't change the day. It is what it is. Even in real estate, I know Friday night, Saturday's big day, and you want to keep Shabbos on Tuesday. No dice. Shabbos is Shabbos. Done. But Yom Tov has some flexibility because it depends on when we make the determination. Once you understand this now, then Shabbos really represents the inspiration from God directly, where it didn't involve any effort on our part. And Yom Tov represents our input, where the inspiration comes from below, comes from us. If you think about it, life in general really has both aspects. There are stages of inspiration that came not by our doing. We had a moment, something came up, an idea popped into my head. Or I heard something and I was inspired. And then you have moments of disappointment. It's a down. And then it's up to you to delve deep within to conquer that letdown by remembering and reflecting on that inspirational stage. That's perhaps the reason why every single day of our existence, somewhere a mitzvah we do, we say it's a commemoration to the Exodus. Why? What's up with national independence? In America, we have National Independence Day. In Israel, thank God, we have this week National Independence Day again. But the truth is, from a Torah perspective, we have National Independence Hour or Minute, because every time I turn around, I'm saying, Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's a commemoration for the Exodus. I do it every single day in Shema. I do it every single day when I put on tefillin. I do it all the time. When I make Kiddush Friday night, I say those same words. The answer perhaps is why we always make reference to it is because that was our moment of inspiration. God gave us a boost. Now it's up to me. I remember that boost. Now I know I have to do it myself. So the first day or night of Pesach is when we really didn't have mitzvot on our own. God raised us from above on his own. That's like Shabbos. That's more in line like Shabbat. It is for the Yom Tov. Perhaps that's the reason why when the Torah says that we should begin the counting the day after Shabbat, doesn't mean literally the Saturday. It means the day from which it's like Shabbos, that the inspiration came from God, not on our own doing. But after that quote unquote Shabbat experience, we descend back to our previous state, and now we need to start counting for ourselves. So the very next day, on day two of Pesach, we start counting. We start taking our step forward, not relying on the jumper cables. We disconnect from the jumper cables, and we start taking a step forward on our own. Each day we improve ourselves, where each day has value in and of itself. That's why we counted verbally, because today I'm taking my baby step forward on my own. I'm going to work on myself today. And you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to work on myself more. And the next day, and therefore every single day, we verbally count to emphasize that this process of earning it on our own, step by step. Do you follow this concept, gentlemen? I want to make sure we're clear on this. Any questions? I want to make sure we have this understood. We're good? Okay. Perhaps once we understand this, now we can answer the original question, of why is it that the Omer, this quantity, we make a reference to barley? The answer is because, again, on this first new day of counting, this day of our own process, we're starting on ground zero again. We're starting an animal level. Barley is mostly animal food. Wheat is human consumption. Typically, most barley is used for animal fodder, not for human consumption. So
cholent, right?
What?
Cholent. It's very important.
I'm not saying we don't eat barley, but typically the majority of the world's barley is not used for human consumption. It's used for animals. And that goes way back when. We return to our level of somewhat animal and we start to count, start to work our way towards the wheat offering because wheat is a higher level. Perhaps that's the reason of why the mitzvah is named for the point of departure, is because to remind us, now I'm starting like a baby. I'm starting as my infant that I'm going to take the first step. Yeah, the goal ultimately is the wheat, right? But you have to know where you're starting from. Don't feel ashamed. The first offering, God says, even with barley, I love it. You took your first step. You fell? Okay, you picked yourself up and you took another step. I love that, God says. It's not just if only I'm going to bring wheat, even if all I'm bringing is barley. Therefore, my message to all of us really about this counting of the Omer is to understand that these 49 days of counting between Pesach, when God came down to Egypt and gave us an unmerited gift of a spiritual growth, we now count day by day leading up to Shavuot, where we earn the right to get the Torah. We put in the time. We put in the effort. When on Shavuot, God came down this time. Is that the first time in Pesach, it was God was the initiator. The second, we said, we want the Torah. And God says, then I will come and give it to you. It was earned. With this, I can add one more piece. We're good on time. Give you a little Kabbalistic something. Very interesting. Every month of the year, the 12 months, correspond to a different letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Obviously, there's some months that double up because there's more letters, but each month has a certain association with the Hebrew letter. Most of the counting of the Omer between Pesach and Shavuos is in the month of Iyar, the month that we just started. The month of Iyar, according to the Sefer Yetzirah, the book of Kabbalah, is associated with the letter Vav. Everybody know the letter Vav? What does a vav do? If let's say I put a vav at the beginning of a word, what happens?
And.
Yeah, it means and. It's a connector. If I list something and I say this, right? Like I say yale viyavo. Right? That's the prayer that we said all of Pesach. Yale v'yavo. Yale means it should go up. V'yavo. And he should come. V'that. V means the vav in the front is connecting words, paragraphs, chapters. It means and. What does it do? It functions as a bridge between this point and the next one. Between an initial, even the word vav. You know what the word vav in Hebrew means? It means a hook. Vavim are hooks in Hebrew. That's the word, vav. If you spell it out, that's what it means. It means a hook. So the function of a hook, the function of the letter vav, is to bridge between the initial, the temporary inspiration that we got on Pesach and connecting it all the way to permanently acquiring it on Shavuot. I don't think it's a coincidence that what day of the month is the holiday of Shavuot? What day of Sivan?
Six.
Yeah, what letter is six?
Bam. Jam.
What letter is, what Hebrew letter is six?
Beis, Gimel.
Aleph, Gimel, Dalet, Hey.
Vav.
Vav. Yeah. Of course it has to be a Vav. Because that's the whole point of this, is the hook, is the connection. Why else would I ask the question? Right? Because that's the whole essence of it, is that what we've done is we've made the connection of going from Pesach, where it was God initiating the inspiration, to all the way leading up to the sixth of Sivan, the Vav Sivan, where we earned and we connected with it because we took those steps one at a time on our own. The counting of the Omer is a 49 step. AA has 12 steps. Judaism has 49. That's the way it goes. Okay. We have JA, Judaism Anonymous. Okay. 49 steps to go from getting our own boost. I'm sorry, getting a boost from God above to taking it and earning it on our own. With this, I'll end with this. We have three very interesting halachot, three interesting laws as it pertains to the laws of counting the Omer. Number one is that you have to count for yourself. I can't count for you. I can make the bracha for you, right? If, let's say we have the rule that if, let's say you forgot one night, let's say you forgot one whole day, you missed number 12, you forgot. So halachically speaking, you can still count. You can count 13, 14, 15 by saying whatever day it is, but you can't make the bracha anymore because the bracha really goes on the full 49-day entity. So, okay, you missed part of it. You can't make the bracha anymore. But you can listen to someone's bracha and get credit. But as far as counting, you can go ahead and each of us has the requirement to personally count each day of the Omer. That's very strange. Normally, let's say you guys we're all having Friday night dinner together. One of us makes Kiddush, and that's sufficient for everybody. Why can't it be that one person counts the Omer and that covers for all of us? Why is there an obligation for each of us to count personally? The answer now is obvious, because it's all about personal growth. It's about how I am going to do this in my own way, how I put forth the effort to go from the inspiration from Pesach to the inspiration earned. You know what I'm saying? That's the key. So I can't do that for you. Your growth, your inspiration is your thing. You have to put forth your effort to be the best you can be. So therefore, every one of us has to put in our own effort. That's why I count by myself. Similarly, you have to count in a language you understand. You should say, if you don't know Hebrew, then say, today is the 18th day of the Omer, which is 2 weeks and 4 days. That's what you should say in English. That counts. Why? You don't have to do Kiddush in English, even if you don't understand it. You can do Kiddush in English. No problem. I mean in Hebrew, even if you don't understand. No. Counting of the Omer, you have to understand. It's the same reason. Because it's all about your personal growth. My 49 steps of personal growth and development. I can't do that for you. You have to do that. And therefore, it has to be what you understand. For me, this was a paradigm shift. The shift being not just that, oh, it's an opportunity. We're going to grow as people. The point is that this is our proof that the Exodus was worthwhile. What's the point of using jumper cables and giving the battery a boost if you're not going to drive the car? What's the point? You didn't gain anything. Okay, so you started it with a jumper cables, and then you took it off, and then you did nothing. So what was the point? The point of counting the Omer is to say, that God, you gave me that boost on Pesach. You gave me that inspiration. Undeserved, unmerited, but you gave it to me because you felt we needed it. And then God says, now let me see you do it on your own. I'm taking the training wheels off. Let me see you drive. Go. these 49 days of counting the Omer is our way of saying, I'm doing what Mark Ebner's doing. I'm putting one foot in front of the other, and I'm going to grow. That's what I'm doing. I hope not to sweat as much, but that's the idea. To go ahead and put one foot in front of the other. Day one, day two, day three, and so on. Until when you can stand after 49 days and say, you know what? I feel like I have done my part to earn my place with Torah. That's what we're doing. To stand before God on Shavuot and say, I'm ready to receive your Torah. I've taken a few steps forward. Was I perfect in my count? No. But it was one more than I would have done without it. It's two more. It's three more. The good news, folks, is that we're only in week number three. We haven't even finished week three yet. We still have three and a half weeks to go. We got this. We can do this. If we take the time to go through each day and count and say, what trait am I going to work on today? You can look it up. I was going to do this, but I don't want to hold you guys much longer. If you remember when we did Pirkei Avot, when we did Ethics of the Fathers, the very, very, very end, in the sixth chapter, it lists what's known as the 48 ways of acquiring Torah. It lists 48 character traits of what we need to do to acquire our portion in Torah. It's not a coincidence that it's 48 ways. Our sages tell us that there's 48 characteristics so that you can spend one day of the Omer working on each one of those traits. And then, like every good project, on the last, you put it all together and it becomes a whole entity. That's day 49. Look it up. It's known as the 48 ways. It's a classic. That's what we can work on. If you pull it out, I really should say, I'll send it out on the email and you guys can share it amongst each other. I'll give you that list. I'll give you the source. Pick one or two. It doesn't have to be you do every one of them. But that's your primary source. What trait? I'm going to work on simcha. I'm going to work on my joy of being Jewish. My joy of learning Torah. I'm going to work on miyutzchora. I'm going to minimize. Am I going to be the workaholic? Or can I minimize and take 15 minutes away from my business pursuit? Dr. Spector, I love it. I love the fact that you're on this. You're at work and you're learning. That's the perspective. You do what you got to do, but you fit in Torah when you can. We can all be 15 minutes worth more. I'll tell you a great story, and that's it. And then I'll promise, I'll stop. They tell the story about what used to be in the old days. They had what was known as a magid. A magid was an itinerant preacher who would go from community to community, and he would discuss with the rabbi what they need, what the people need to hear in terms of inspiration, where they lack in observance. So he comes to a community, and he gets up, and one of the things that he was told is that the people aren't taking their mitzvot seriously. There's a lackadaisical approach. So he gets up, and with fire and brimstone, he tells the story, you know, about the following. He says, how does it go? That if they talk about this guy who comes up after he passes away, he comes before heaven, and they say to him, you're a 50-50. You're right on the line. You have exactly 50% merits, 50% demerits. What should we do with you? It went back and forth in heaven. Should we just give him the benefit of the doubt? Another group said, no, he doesn't deserve it. How about then let's send them to purgatory. No, he doesn't deserve. They came up with the following compromise. They're going to send them back for 30 minutes. Send them back down to earth for 30 minutes. And we'll see what he does to make what he'll do with it. And the preacher is talking about, and what happens to this guy? He comes down and he knows he's only got 30 minutes. What's he going to do? Well, this guy, he's going to run and he's going to study Torah for 30 minutes. And this guy's going to run and he's going to give tzedakah. And this one's going to run and help in the old age home. And this one, and everybody's going to run and do the mitzvos. 30 minutes. Preacher stops for a moment. He bangs the lectern and he said, Right? Why? Just because if we have more than 30 minutes, are we not utilizing the time properly? And everybody, oh, you're right, you're right, you're right. And he pauses, he slams the lectern again, and he says, and who told you you even have 30 minutes now? That's what he says to them. We are being given a golden opportunity. These days of counting Svira are our opportunity to take small steps forward, to take the jumper cable inspiration that we were given by God and to prove that we deserve the Torah. We deserve to have it because we've earned our place. One step, one step, one step. That's how we grow. That's how we become better people. That, I think, is a very important idea that comes out of the idea of counting the Omer. Any questions? I will be nether. I'll send it to Jimmy so that he can disperse it by email. And Eric, I guess you'll send out the link to however you send it out.
Yash Koch, Rabbi. Thank
pleasure.
You.
Pleasure. Any questions?
It was great.
We good? Mark's
back. Yes.
He's still catching his breath.
So, thank you, Rabbi.
A pleasure.
Thank you, Yash Koch.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to know how many miles Mark has walked.
Can we, wait, quick question before, let me pause this for a second here.